Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
So it was $51.96 a month to watch one team play regular season baseball. And you've got to look up. There's no more just coming home, cracking a beer, going to the one channel you always watch, and the Yankees are on.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
Maybe internally there's something else going on there, because the Big 12 folks seem to be awfully confident in prying away at least Colorado.
And SI's Pat Forte.
Here's the existential problem for a school like Washington State. You have the hardest time keeping up with the Joneses in your league. You have the least resources. You're the furthest away from people. You don't have a huge and wildly wealthy alumni base.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And if I'm not on top of my game this morning, it's Thursday morning. It's because I lost all of my brain cells.
You're clearly not on top of your game because it's Wednesday.
There you go. It's Wednesday. We usually tape Thursday. Forgive me. I'm an idiot. I watched Bama Rush. We're going to get to football, and this involves football because they talk a lot about football in this thing. But I watched this doc, HBO Max, on the rush process at Alabama, but I'm not even sure that's what it was about. I don't know. I don't want to give away too many spoilers. Let's just say there's a lot of hair dye and pink.
Mm-hmm.
Not pink hair, just pink clothes.
Yeah.
Apparently everyone dresses like an 8-year-old.
This is an ongoing saga. We talked the TikTok Bama sensation, right?
TikTok, right? Bama Rush. We've been involved. I was highly anticipated the Bama Rush documentary in my house. sat down and watched it as a documentarian myself. I can tell you it's not any good, but doesn't mean it's not entertaining. The director, for some reason, installs herself in the show.
Really?
Yeah. So it kind of became a documentary about her, which didn't make a lot of sense. I won't totally spoil it all, but I had I won't out this listener was like, after I said I was going to watch the show, or he knows we were going to talk about the show. So he told his wife he wanted to watch it, and she was quite impressed. So here's the deal. I won't do the spoilers. The NBA and NHL conference championships suck. Everything's blowouts. So I don't know. This is normally an incredible weekend of sports. Like, there's all these great games. Yeah, not this year. This is your chance to be like, you know, and look, our audience is mostly men. We've had some data come in like 90% men, and I'm actually surprised 10% women even involved. But hey, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
This is your chance. Like when we tell you the rake the leaf day, like the rake the leaf early window in the fall, like there's no good game at noon. The big noon game is not a big noon. Rake the leaves, apple picking. This is your chance to be like, why don't we watch something you'd like to watch? What about Bama Rush? Okay, it's like 2 hours, dumb as can be. I mean, dumb. Yeah. The fact there's a university somehow attached to whatever this thing is they'll probably get a 10 million more applications, but this is your chance. Wait, don't you want to watch the NBA playoffs? No, not tonight. No, I don't want to watch that hockey game. No, I would rather watch Bama Rush. This is my relationship advice to you. And if you're one of our 10% female listeners, and your husband, boyfriend pulls this, you know what's up. You know what's what.
It's a bad weekend in the pro sport.
Anyway, enough with Bama Rush for now. We'll get to it. I don't want to spoil the show.
I don't know, man. That's a pretty
Are
big
you gonna
tease.
Watch, Pat?
I feel like I need to know a little bit more. Who was the dumbest single character?
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Coach Saban wasn't on the dock, was he? Wait, did he make, did Coach Saban make an appearance on the dock?
No, effing way. they kept flying the drone over the football game, and they did a lot of videos during football games, but no, Coach Saban was not touching this. Well, it was probably the people that paid a consultant to help them prepare for Bama Rush.
Oh, come
on. So that they knew what to wear, what accessories, how to do interviews, how to present yourself in the casual conversations.
So there is such a thing as a sorority rush consultant.
Oh yeah. A whole bunch of them. One young lady apparently drove all the way to Atlanta to meet with this woman.
Really?
How'd
you like to have that for your business card?
I love it. What a hustle. This is the easiest. Just be yourself. Sit with you. I mean, no, they were talking about what not to say, how not to look awkward. I mean, it's unbelievable. Because you're supposed to go, right? You go to a house and, like, you meet the people. Like, hey, you know, come by. I mean, in theory, it makes sense, right? Stop by the house, see if you like us. We see if you like, hey, maybe we fit, you know, hang out. But no, you have to have the right stuff and the designer clothes. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. So I guess Alabama gives so much financial aid to the out-of-state students, they just then reroute it to get in the sorority.
Yeah, right.
Because they're not paying anything.
Yeah.
So it's so cheap that they just sit there and go, well, I got an extra $25K here. I'll just take a loan out on that and I'll just spend it on designer stuff. I mean, you need like six straight days out. Oh, it's incredible. Anyway, Bama Rush. We'll get to it.
Your oldest daughter, who's going to college in the fall, did she watch it and was she galvanized to rush a sorority off of this? She's not going to Alabama, by the way.
She's not going to Alabama. I won't out her opinion. I don't know. No, it was, okay. I mean, there's nothing in this that I think it would appeal. I don't want to just trash everyone who's in over. I don't believe this can't be true. I don't even know. No. Okay. She may rush a sorority, but no, not this.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, not this. Now, there's a lot of pageant girls. That was kind of the.
Okay.
But yeah, you would have to like go in full makeup and hair all day long and dress in outlandish designer clothes and act totally phony just so you can have quote unquote friends. That seemed to be the theory.
That's a heck of a description there.
I don't know. Anyway, enough Bama Rush.
Wear makeup all day long, wear outlandish clothes, and act totally phony so you can have quote unquote friends. There you go.
And pay 10 Nailed grand it. Or something to be in the sorority and have an old lady. It's a middle aged woman that was a Kappa Kappa in 1993 tell you about how to act Southern. Pay her. She's got this huge house in Atlanta. What a hustle. What a hustle.
I love it. Anyway. It's a consultant's world, man.
I want both of you, I'm thinking maybe you guys could use some good husband points, knowing you two. Maybe agree to watch this.
Okay.
Maybe All my right. advice should go to you.
I have a feeling there would be a lot of stuff in there that I'm not going to be as surprised maybe about as you maybe were, just based on where I'm from and went to school, and the fact that half my family is KD legacy girls. Uh-oh. So
Uh-oh. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Southern queens girls. Of the row. Is that Delta? What's one of them?
Kappa Delta.
I don't know. Yeah, I took Greek. I knew all the letters.
Did you really?
But no, I mean, I think what it is I think we all know what sororities were, but because of the TikTok sensation. So half a billion TikTok streams on Bama Rush last fall. Half a billion. So it's inspired the craziest, the most enthusiastic of the enthusiastic Rush people to all flock to Bama. So it's now gone, like, it's on steroids, right? It's yeah. it's like how Nick Saban's gets every recruit. Bama's getting all the, every one of these people.
Bama's getting so the five-star sorority talent. Okay.
Yeah. All right, but let's talk television because I watch this thing on a streaming service.
Yes.
Let's talk football. And a few things have come out in the last few days, and I have no idea the answer, and nobody else knows what's coming. One was the word that ESPN, still the North Star of all sports media, and college football for sure, is planning on going to a full streaming service at some point in the next few years. They have the cord cutting has, 47 million people have cut the cord. There's less basic cable, all this different stuff. The day ESPN goes to a new fee, and there were some estimates, the Big Lead did a good job on this. There's a bunch of stories, Wall Street Journal. It could be $50 a month to get ESPN. Maybe
outrageous.
More. Well, it's $24.99 to get the YES Network.
Really?
It's $29.99 to get MSG Plus, to get you Rangers and Knicks. Wow. YES gets you the Yankees. Right now, ESPN Plus is $9.99 a month. Or 100 annually. But it could be $50 just to stream ESPN. The bigger issue, maybe, is it will, if ESPN leaves basic cable and not just have ESPN Plus, like, I don't know, like I watched the UFC undercard on ESPN Plus on Saturday, right? Like it has stuff that they don't want to put on the network, right? Or just extra stuff. And we watched, I remember, you know, during COVID, we're watching.
Yeah.
Yep, crazy football games. What was our favorite? Fox Sports Texas Plus.
Fox Sports Plus Plus or something like
Plus Fox Southwest. Fox Sports Southwest, Southwest Plus.
Plus. Yeah.
They had the Abilene Christian against like Odessa Permian. Yeah. Yeah. I'd actually watch. I'd pay to watch maybe some West Texas high school football. But anyway, I digress. I will be able to. So $50, let's say it's $50 for ESPN. Well, now you need the Peacock is another, I don't know what.
Nope.
$15, $20 you could get. I mean, you can see what's heading. CBS is what, Paramount, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything go through the roof. If ESPN leaves basic cable, they're saying that could be just the end of basic cable. Most people, it's one of the big things that is keeping basic cable alive is ESPN. I think one of these stories, like USA Network and Discovery, those used to be really big things. And they're like USA Network's audience is down like 80%. And like Discovery's is down. Like people just aren't watching these stations.
Yeah.
Cable news is way down for everybody, but particularly some, you know, all these different things. So that also affects college sports. Because if there's no basic cable, then the Big Ten Network, the SEC Network need to go to streaming. Are you really going to pay for that? I always called those things a tax, a college sports tax on people because they got very low ratings, but these athletic departments are making a few bucks off of these other people. But it was that was the basic cable deal, right? Like, okay, you watch this network, I watch this one, we all get a decent... All of that goes, everything changes. The ability to switch between channels right now on streaming is not great. And I know these people who are these streaming accolades yell at you, but like just the other night, like YouTube TV couldn't get the, what was it? The NBA game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Froze, right. The Laker game. Mm-hmm. Was it the Lakers? Or I don't know what it was. I don't watch YouTube TV, but other people do. But you right now you can sit there on a Saturday afternoon and there's like seven games on, and you can click back and forth from two or three games at once, right? If everything's on their own streaming network and then we don't have 10G or whatever we need for the internet, and a lot of the country isn't getting that for a long time, you lose that part of the whole thing. How can ESPN keep paying billions and billions for sports, these sports leagues, if they don't have the revenue they had under the basic cable model. Advertising's lower on streaming. I guess the question is, like, this is the unbelievable uncertainty, even as college football tries to sort out who's in what league and how much revenue. Like, how can we even predict what kind of revenue there is when no one can even predict what television will look like in like 2 years?
Right. Yeah. No, that's, I mean, like, when ESPN, when it came out that they're looking at this, you know, massive streaming undertaking, that should have shaken everyone in college sports, heck, and in professional sports too, of like, okay, what is the impact going to be? And I think the impact could be sizable, as you illustrated, Dan, is, first of all, just sheer expense. And some people are like, no, I'm not going to keep paying more and more for all of these streaming services. They add up, and eventually you're $20 a month thing or $50 a month thing yourself, you know, into the poorhouse. And people are just going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pay for that many services. And then B, if you just make it harder to watch people, that's another reason for people to say no. And folks like us are going to do whatever we probably need to do to be able to watch our college football and college basketball. But there's a lot of people that won't. So not that many people care quite that deeply. There's plenty that do, but there's a significant share of audience that's just going to say, you know what? Nah, I'm not going to do that. And so that's the risk, I think, that some of these companies are running and some of the conferences are running by going to a completely off-traditional platform, or mostly off-traditional platform, or even partly off-traditional platform sort of broadcast service.
Well, and aren't we just eventually circling back to having some kind of bundle, which is cable in the first place? It feels like we're like 3 to 5 years from all these different streaming. They're already starting to kind of consolidate, right? The streaming services like HBO, whatever, the Max and something else just converged, right? There's a couple of those that have happened. And I wonder if, yeah, we're just going to be, I feel like the 8, 10, 12-year-old audience right now, when they get to like 18, 20-year-old, are going to be like, why don't we just all put this on one thing, consolidated, like we pay one price. We're going to all be like, yeah, that's called cable. We used to have it back in the day. So it seems like we're all going to eventually circle back to having some kind of cable. I have YouTube TV. It's fantastic. But I guess if ESPN were to like go cable less, right? Would they be pulled off of YouTube TV, you think?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Because they need everybody to subscribe directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy. Yeah. Cause a lot of the apps aren't available. Like, you know, we have YouTube TV and then we also have HBO Max. We have Peacock. We have Netflix. We have maybe one or two other more, you know, and you add it all up and it's like, man, we're like paying as much as cable or more.
Yeah. What does during the college football season, what is the YouTube TV experience as far as switching around between games?
It's great. No, it's fantastic. And in fact, they started this during March Madness, but they have the quad screens. They have the quad like screens, you can split out all four channels that all the games were on the first weekend. That was amazing. And I would assume they just started that March. So I'd assume we haven't had a football season with it. I assume they plan on doing it for the football season as well. So it's great. I love it. I do. I was a linear kind of cable guy forever, like, you know, Comcast or whatever, Cox. But we switched to YouTube TV like a year and a half ago, maybe. And it's been great.
But are those games are all,
they're on,
lack
YouTube.
Of a better term, on the same cable. They're cable channels, right? And they're all owned by the same property.
Right. So, it was like, you know, right, it was True all the TV, games of March Madness. Right. Exactly. TNT. Yeah.
So that's a great service. I CBS, wonder if they can sell a TV or some kind of package that allows you to be signed in one quadrant on Peacock and one quadrant on Amazon and one like Yeah. One on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have to get off, you have to leave it, redo your, you know, you buffer down, you buffer back up, or you have to put in passwords or whatever. Any delay at all, because it's live sports and you're trying to watch two games at once.
Right.
Streaming's great for movies or the Bama Rush. Yeah, that's what we're watching. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming's awesome for that. It's just for live sports. Yeah.
That was two of the subtle genius parts of the Fansville. Remember the one ad where they're dealing with this buffering and they're who's got the password and they're trying to enter the password to get on there. Anyway, that's an aside.
I'll give you an example this week. There was a tweet out about if you're a Yankees fan this week, this is how you watched games. Sunday, the Yankees were on Peacock, which costs $4.99 a month. Tuesday, it was on Yes, their network, $24.99 a month. Wednesday, there was no game Monday. Wednesday, they played on Amazon Prime, $14.99 a month. Thursday, they're back on Yes. And Friday, they play on Apple TV, $6.99 a month. So it was $51.96 a month to watch one team play regular season baseball.
And
you've got to look up. There's no more just coming home, cracking a beer, going to the one channel you always watch.
Right.
And the Yankees are on.
Yeah.
Or you're clicking back and forth between the Lakers game and, you know, the NBA playoffs and the Yankee game. Like, baseball is... like, you got to settle in for baseball.
Yep.
Like, I don't. Baseball's the best clicking back and forth channel because, well, at least before there was 2 minutes between pitches. But I don't know. I don't know, and I wonder about the shared experience when and what does this do going forward for conferences? I used to say I didn't necessarily joke, but like, at what point does if the Big Ten adds Maryland and Rutgers for cable, basic cable subscriptions, whatever, eight years ago or whatever, and now there's no more basic cable, what's their worth?
Yeah.
B, if everything's about appointment viewing and not just I'll flick around and see what game is good, is the big brands and the success the only thing that matters? And does that even be a bigger factor in the winnowing of our sport down to just a couple conferences? Because it's no longer about even inventory. It's about how many games can command people to say, I'm tuning into this streaming service and I will watch Ohio State, Michigan, and I'm not clicking over to anything else. I'm going to watch LSU, Alabama, and things like Colorado, a good Colorado State, Wyoming game on College Sports Network doesn't matter, or Iowa's playing Rutgers. Well, we'll get some people to watch that. No longer matter.
Yeah, no, I would be scared if I were those schools in the conferences that don't command an audience. You know, for now, I think, again, as we continue to kind of shred layers of who's the most important brands, if you are Illinois and Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue, whatever, you know, and there's not that many people tuning in to see you, at some point will the Big Ten say, you know, do we really need those folks? If you're in the SEC, do we need Vanderbilt? Do we need the Mississippi schools? If you're in the ACC, which we'll get to the ACC survival of the fittest, same thing with a 14-team league. You know, I would be nervous just that the Darwinian nature of who brings in the dollars could eventually become you're out of a league that you've been in for 100 years.
Sounds impossible, but again, yeah, UCLA is in the Big Ten. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. May not be coming tomorrow, but I would at least be aware and wary.
So, like, when we had Jack Swarbrick on, the Notre Dame athletic director, he says, you know, really all they're buying is the rights to your home games, right?
Right. Yes.
So one of the advantages Notre Dame has in its contract is it can play eight, nine. It can determine how many home games it wants to play. It has control over, like, extra home games, potentially, because it only really plays five league games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the others are set up, but I think they probably have a pretty sweetheart deal with Navy and things like that. I don't know, you know, but they can. But, like, what if you had a small league? Like, even, like, let's talk about the ACC. Let's say the ACC actually could, like, disintegrate and everyone could choose what to do.
Yep.
Would it be better to go to the, I know they'd go to the SEC, but any team would take it. But would you be better off if you were like Clemson, Florida State, Miami, I don't know, North Carolina, whatever their six biggest TV properties are, North Carolina, and I don't know, take the Virginia schools or something.
Yeah, if you, the wandering seven.
The wandering seven. Let's say you just say, this is our league. We're seven. Mm-hmm. And we take Notre Dame. We're the seven. We're going to play each other. We're only playing, like, let's just say it's seven. We play six league games. The other six we control. We can play more home games. We get extra games for our schools, and we only set up good games. And thus, there's no lost leader of Clemson, Syracuse. I don't know. This is a whole different thing that I haven't heard a lot of discussion on. Is like, well, we're going by the old model of what matters, and all these realignments become a new thing. It used to be basic cable channels. Now nobody cares. It used to be markets. Now that's not it. Now it's like, what is appointment viewing? It seems.
Right. And I think, you know, the other part of that is if you just set up good games, as you said, and you're not scheduling Presbyterian and, you know, UAB and whatever, then that resonates a little bit. I had multiple athletic directors during the talk about the expansion of the playoff say, we now really need to make strength of schedule matter. And that means, okay, like, so if you want us to schedule these good games, then you have to let us in the playoff when we're 8-4, as opposed to everybody needing to be 10-2 or better. That, I think, could be a trigger point in this, too. It's like, okay, I mean, if we're going to break away and have a Super League or whatever, then you have to have an allowance there also for us to lose a lot and still get rewarded with a playoff spot.
Well, it feels like we're just the last several years, it's just been a consolidation of you know, the biggest brands in college sports consolidating into two leagues. And there's only like 5 to 7 other big brands that now exist outside of those two leagues. And you do wonder with the, how, I never really thought about it this way, but how the linear cable situation is going to impact the TV rights stuff going forward. It's a pretty interesting situation that, you got to think it's got to impact it in some way. You know, it'll be interesting to watch going forward. And I don't know, you know, how even that's going to, impact realignment, the whole conference realignment. Like you said, Dan, a lot of these moves were made with cable TV networks in mind. So, and now you got this streaming situation to think about.
Well, why not go independent like Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I mean, like, isn't Notre Dame, by not being in a conference, in control and can conceivably schedule more home dates, which, you know, everyone wants a lot of home games because of the gate, but you can also control, now you own the TV, right?
TV rights, yeah.
Texas always talked about it, right? Are you USC? Yeah. I know there was buzz. Well, yep. If USC, the Pac-12 is not serving USC, maybe USC just goes independent, and maybe Clemson goes in. I mean, you look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame has a guarantee of five ACC games a year, and they keep putting them up against Clemson. And so funny how it works, right? But they end up playing Clemson, Miami, and Florida State every year at least, or every, you know, in that rotation. But they get some big games. They get a couple other fillers. They get their brand down in the South where they can recruit. Then they play Stanford and USC every year. The USC game is always a big one. And then they play Navy. And then they move the Navy game around. I think, you know, I don't know how Navy and Notre Dame's deal works, but it's a great boon for Navy. So I'm sure that's a little lopsided, but they've played Navy forever. And then Notre Dame controls the other games. They play the Shamrock series somewhere, sell out. They own that TV right. And maybe they play one more road game because it's a home and home with somebody. But wouldn't that be better for Clemson going forward than trying to figure this? Like, couldn't there be a loose affiliation and not really a league, if you will?
Well,
and
there could be, but then, like, yeah, okay, who's going to schedule you? I think that's part of it.
Clemson's always going to get games, right? You find five teams that will schedule you, and then you find other games. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but is better than sitting in a 15-team league where you're trapped and no one's going to be watching the ACC games because I have to only dial in to Paramount because I want to watch Alabama play LSU today and I can't click over to the other channel.
It would be, that's the kind of thing that if you're Clemson, they should probably be studying it, exploring it, and on to some of these other schools as well. Is just, you know, what's the feasibility of that? But I do wonder who you schedule. As you said, you Notre Dame's schedule is baked in. There's no way if Clemson leaves the ACC, they ain't getting any more ACC teams to schedule them unless other teams leave the ACC.
Other ACC teams.
Yeah.
Well, if you get Florida State to leave with you, if you get Miami, if you get maybe the Carolina schools or the Virginia schools, and we'll get to that. But
and then you're playing South Carolina every year and you play Notre Dame. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's, and you just say, are we in a league? Nah, not really. We have a scheduling agreement. There's 12 teams in the playoff. Right now, there's six automatic, there's six at large bids. In 2 years, they may not do the 6-6. They may sit there and say, well, down to four automatic bids. Like, your path to the playoff may not be any different. This is all so seismic. And we're already seeing seismic in college sports. Like, what's the next one? And I don't know that that's not a better move than sitting around going, let's wait till 2036. Of course, you can't get out because you've given your rights away. But,
well, I think that was definitely a consideration. Like, when over the last 5 to 7 months, when these seven ACC schools have been, talking with one another, there were only three or four options, right? And outlined them in that story last week. But it was like, either get more money out of ESPN, you either all create your own league, your own association, or you have individual fractures where individual teams go off and conceivably join another league. But as part of that, if you can't join another league, right, it is an independence. And I've certainly talked to some officials in that league at those schools that would go independent, and they say that definitely was a consideration in their mind. Notre Dame's really got it made, right? Because they're independent in the football and then part of the league in all the other sports that would be difficult to go independent as probably the Olympic sports. Creating an Olympic schedule and then the TV situation for an independent in Olympic sports. I don't know how all that would work, but Notre Dame does have it kind of, they've kind of got the blueprint in a lot of ways. And you wonder, given the ACC situation though, does Notre Dame shift that allegiance to another league like the Big Ten or something like that? Just kind of wonder about that.
Yeah, I think the Big Ten would say you're either bringing football or forget
it. You're in or you're out. Yeah, you're in or you're out. But you can schedule one-on-one. I mean, if you're Clemson and you have your softball team, is it that big of a difference if you go play Charlotte and College of Charleston and, I don't know, Georgia Southern or Boston College and Syracuse? Pitt. Like, you're better off with the other way, aren't you?
I mean, in terms
like
of
Olympic
what?
Sports, like Olympic sports,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Do you want to win or not?
Well, I mean, what good is, I mean, you're going to beat those schools, aren't you?
Yeah, but do you get any better playing against those schools? You need to play.
You get any better playing Boston College and Syracuse and softball? I don't know. Are they any good?
Pittsburgh getting bad. See, Dan, let me tell you about Olympic sports a little bit here.
Here we go.
Dude, let me tell you what the goal at Clemson should be. Keep Death Valley filled. At some point, it's like the softball team will get good by practicing amongst itself. I mean, we'll play games. We'll have the big Pitt Clemson softball game is going to be the difference.
I mean, no, it's not going to make a decision, but, you know, if you're going to have the other sports, do you want to be good at them or not? I mean, you can't just say, we tolerate you just enough to have you play a regional schedule and that's it. Get lost otherwise. I mean,
you don't exist without the big stadium.
No, you don't.
I don't know. I don't think your level of competition necessarily drops that significantly. I don't know how good, I don't know.
I take it back. Pittsburgh's bad in softball too.
Okay. See, I was like, how the hell did Pitt get good in softball? Anyway, I don't know. Softball's on now. I mean, I was at a bar the other day. LSU's playing Louisiana, right? And it's a really good game. Like, Louisiana, I don't know who won because I left, but LSU came storming back. Like, okay. Like, Louisiana obviously is capable of playing with LSU.
Yeah, Louisiana's got history of really good softball. They ended up winning that game, by the way. The Cajuns.
Did they? Good, congratulations.
Ended up winning by one run, and we'll go play, I think, Washington in the Super Regional.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they have a long history of being pretty powerhouse.
I don't think scheduling Olympic sports, I don't know. This is just, I'm just throwing this out there like, man, this is some wild stuff. Because you do not want to be the third best game in a time slot if everyone's on streaming. Unless they can figure out how you can go back and forth between the streaming channels almost instantaneously. Because no one's going to watch that third game. And people just won't pay for it.
How to instantaneously go back and forth from games kind of sounds like cable.
Cable, right. No, I agree. What if we just wired every house in America and every apartment in America with this thing that had it all? I know it was working, but it's not working anymore. All right. Quick Pac-12, the woes of the Pac-12. Barry Tremel out at the Oklahoman. He reported that someone told him CU is definitely leaving. He wasn't sure what to make of that. Colorado would be leaving the Pac-12 and coming to the Big 12. Obviously, these Big 12 sources keep saying this stuff. But Barry's a really good reporter. I don't know. He said, I'm not sure. Everybody says something. Washington State is on a hiring freeze, their athletic department, because there's a $5 million payback that they have to do from this Pac-12 TV deal or something. And the Pac-12 is finally out, per John Canzano in Portland. It's finally out of their downtown San Francisco office space that cost them like $100 million over like X number of years. But they owe an additional $10 million because they altered the space so much. Per terms of lease, they have to kick $10 million back to whoever owns this building. And they still got a TV deal. Great, great deal going for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rough patch here for the Pac-12. And it seems like the hits just keep on coming. And Larry Scott, you know, left them with a few of these things, right? I think it's John Wilner recently reported about Larry Scott's huge bonus that he got. Was it $50 million or $20 million, maybe? I'm trying to think of what
I think he made $50 million as the Pac-12. Is that correct? I don't know.
Maybe.
The numbers are staggering.
The numbers are, no matter what it is, it's absurd numbers. And then I think there was a bonus in there. And then on top of that, there's, of course, that $50 million they owe back, right, for the, was it Comcast?
Yes.
That's the $5 million hit that Washington State can't afford or something.
Right.
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 I can't keep up with all the negative headlines. It's tough times for Pac-12 PR.
I miss the Barry Trammell thing. That was something out in Phoenix like 3 weeks ago when we were out there for Fiesta meetings. That was it was made pretty clear that of the schools in the Pac-12, you know, that could bolt to the Big 12, the feeling from people out there, a lot of it Big 12 people, was that that school was Colorado. And, you know, the Colorado officials, and I sat down and actually wrote a story with Rick George, the athletic director at Colorado. We talked about Deion Sanders and wrote a story there. And, you know, he said privately and publicly, really, he said, you know, they're committed to the Pac-12. It's all the same. It's all the same kind of cliches and towing the same rope, so to speak. But maybe internally there's something else going on there, because the Big 12 folks seem to be awfully confident in prying away at least Colorado. And I don't know if that's where Barry got it from. I assume because, you know,
he said a Big 12 source.
Yeah.
A Big 12 source told me last week that Colorado is ready to commit to joining the Big 12, quote, soon, end quote. Now, he's a very experienced, great reporter. I thought it was interesting, but not necessarily a revelation. Lots of talk in this realignment craze. Most of it is not written on tablets descending from Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? The Big 12.
Who knows? But
talking about that for a while.
Yeah. The Big 12 people are just throwing grenades into everybody. But
they are.
It's happening in the Conference of Champions. I think Bill Walton is going to is up for realignment. Will Bill Walton become a Pac-12 Big 12?
When you see Bill Walton calling a game in Ames and saying this is the greatest conference alive, then we've really crossed the Rubicon. No, taking these two news items individually. The Colorado thing, there's probably been the most speculation about them. They do have a history with a lot of the schools that are in the Big 12. They were in the Big 12, and before that, the Big 8. And while they kind of fit with the Pac-12, but there's never anything that just says, oh, this is perfect for Colorado, you know. So I would not be shocked if they are the most mobile, potentially, as far as going to the Big 12. But yes, this is yet another instance of Big 12 people at least sowing the ideas out there of the Pac-12 being ready to crumble, or we're ready to get some of their schools. We'll see if there's more to this than some of the previous planted sort of speculation. As far as the Washington State thing, this is really interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One, if you look at the statement from Kirk Schultz, he's a smart guy, he's the president, and he first off, throws the blame on the conference and says that, you know, that this is, we owe this money because the conference sucks, basically, and Larry Scott sucks, and that's why we're in this position, is they stuck us with these big expenses, and that's not our fault. But then you get down to the part that's, oh, well, we also apparently managed our own expenses and revenues very poorly. And I wonder if there's a little bit more to that. But here's the existential problem for a school like Washington State. You have the hardest time keeping up with the Joneses in your league. You have the least resources. You're the furthest away from people. You don't have a huge and wildly wealthy alumni base. And you've been out there trying to do everything you can. Build facilities. Create NIL opportunities. Pay your coaches well. Eventually, especially if you're in a league like the Pac-12, that gets hard to do. And that seems to be where Washington State is, partly through their own doing, partly through the league's doing. And I don't know how you sustain it. What do you do? You reach a point where you freeze on hiring and freeze on non-essential travel and things like that. And then what happens? Then are you no longer big time? That's the existential situation for them. Probably Oregon State is not in a dissimilar situation. And you can go on through every conference and pick out some of these schools that have been striving like heck to keep up with the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, you know, the Texases, the Oklahomas. And can you still do it? And for how long?
Yeah, I think Washington State's the lowest resource Power 5 team, I believe, budget-wise, right, Pat? I think it is nationally. You know, during this whole athlete compensation, NIL, congressional bill debate, there's obviously there's like there's two factions forming with very little people in the middle. But one faction is, you know, college athletics, major college athletics has tons of money, and they owe the athletes XXX and the split revenue and all that. And there's one faction, obviously, more the administrators, who will say, no, we don't. There's only about 15, you know, major college program athletic departments that make really turn a profit. And we don't have, we're not rolling in all this money. We spend it all, basically. We spend it all on Olympic sports. We spend it all on salaries and facilities to keep up with everybody else. And I mean, in a way, both of those could be true, but we're seeing certainly the latter here for Washington State is a good example of the latter, is that all these athletic departments aren't rolling in cash. And I think, you know, the other faction would see this maybe and would say, well, they shouldn't be paying their coach as much as they do, or they shouldn't be building these gaudy facilities like they do. That way they could save money and pay the, but you have to keep up with the Joneses to compete. So you need to do that. So it's just this vicious cycle that is about to crash and burn, feels like, at some point.
That's tough. This stuff sucks.
it does.
I mean, it just really does. Mm-hmm. I like watching. Mm-hmm. I remember when they were hyping Ryan Leaf. There was an old story when I think it was Ryan Leaf, or maybe it was Bledsoe. Might have been Drew Bledsoe when he was there. And I think Oregon had bought a Times Square billboard.
Yeah, for Joey Harrington.
Mm-hmm. So was this Bledsoe then? It would be Bledsoe's era. I can't remember. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember the age. Anyway, they had either Bledsoe or Leaf come along, and Washington State painted a barn in Eastern Washington, like on the side of like whatever highway there is out there, I-90. And they, I remember them saying, like, this is the ultimate, like, even back then, it's like, well, Oregon can spend their money in Times Square, but we painted a barn touting the Heisman campaign of whatever. And it was great. Got a lot of attention. Yeah. It was funny. And they were just like, well, this is what we got to do here. You guys can have your, you know, highfalutin Times Square. So it's always been a problem. And it's, but yeah, there's just no collegiality, commonality, anything like that. I don't know where it ends. Not good for the Pac-12. Maybe next week will be better, or we'll have four more negative stories.
Yeah.
Negative stories. We've discussed this in the past. Kirby Smart.
Mm.
Get your crap together, man. Receiver Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint. Is that it? Rosemy yep. Jack Saint. Yep. Senior receiver. Rested Tuesday. For excessive speeding, hitting maximum limits, according to the athletes. I mean, they arrested him. What time did they arrest him? 4:33 p.m.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying there's any time to drag race. Yeah. Now, did this happen at 4 in the afternoon? You were drag racing or recklessly driving? Like, you're going, the Georgia football team is going to kill more people, and some of them aren't even going to be related to the Georgia football program. So to recap this year, we had Jamon Dumas Johnson arrested on January 10th and then charged on February 23rd, or arrested then for a January 10th incident of street racing and reckless driving. We had the absolute tragedy on January 15th with a drag racing late night, early morning deaths of offensive guard Devin Willock. And recruiting staffer Chandler LaCroix, who was driving. They are believed to have been racing Jalen Carter. Carter's car, or LaCroix, reached 104 miles an hour. These are on the streets of Athens, not an empty highway in Montana. Carter was driving 100 in a 35 mile an hour zone. Then, after all of that, Kirby said he brought in the cops to talk to the team, educate the team. We had the Denylon Morissette was arrested 2 weeks ago for speeding, sophomore, driving too fast for conditions. I think that was in a different county, but still.
Yeah, neighboring county, Oconee, which is okay. Right there. Yeah.
He was also driving under the influence of drugs and following too closely.
Super.
So we have this. You have a teammate die. You have a recruiting staffer that otherwise, for all we know, you know, all accounts is beloved, dies. You have your star player drop from potentially the number one pick to number 10, cost them money. Maybe that's the moment. And the Georgia football players don't care. You've brought the police in. What is going to scare the players if this doesn't do it? Right?
Yeah. Well,
throw them off, throw somebody off the team, Kirby.
Exactly.
Come on, man. You're going to kill some kid riding their bike. It's coming. Your team won't slow down. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. No. 90 miles an hour, 3:18 p.m. On a Tuesday. I mean, yeah.
That's schools. I didn't see those details. Yeah, 90.
Yeah.
Schools are letting out. People are traveling around mid-afternoon, and you're going 90 miles an hour. That's the thing. And there was a quote from Kirby in March. We try to have education programs, but education is not enough. Yeah, no duh. You have to do a great job making sure your players understand the risks and dangers that are out there. Well, do they? With vehicles, especially nowadays, that go really fast, you've got to be extremely careful. Are they? We try to educate and make sure our players understand those risks, but the ongoing part of that is to continue to educate them and let them know. The ongoing part of that is to kick somebody off the team or suspend them for a full season. That's what you need to do. And so far, that ain't happening at Georgia. All that happens is they keep getting arrested.
No discipline has been announced. I don't know. Where's the president of the school? I know you're Kirby Smart. You won two titles. You're untouchable. You get everybody in Athens is scared of you, and no one will tell you what to do. You are the most powerful. Do the right thing. This isn't working. I don't know how. I would think the death of two people would do it. Or I would think, hey, man, the last guy lost a ton of money. Maybe that's all I care about. I mean, this is absurdity. Driving 90 down the street is no different than firing a gun down the street. Just a matter of whether you hit somebody or not.
For what it's worth, and this is certainly not the most important thing, but Rosemee Jackson's a very good player who will be, if he's still on the team, a very important part of their team. You know, they had a lot of receivers last year. They have fewer this year. He would be one of the key ones for Georgia.
Is this happening in every school? I mean, like, why are we not hearing about it everywhere? I know it is happening. I mean, it has to, right? Is it something extra with Georgia? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if it was just one or two players that started drag racing and then it caught on with everybody on the team. You know, that does things like that, you know, do seem to happen. They'll trickle through a team, something like this. Maybe that's what's happened. I saw the headline yesterday and just kind of like facepalm, like, surely this isn't right. Like, obviously there's a there's a really concerning trend here.
And that, well, yeah, I mean, look, Georgia, not the only SEC school that was loaded with muscle cars before NIL, as a matter of fact. But they certainly, like the parking lots, they a lot of Chargers and Challengers there.
Yeah.
And they're the one problem. You have a lot of young people driving super fast cars, and they may not be very experienced drivers, but you certainly know what the speed limit is, or you should, and how to follow it.
I would like to see the president of Georgia. If I had a student at Georgia or I lived in that town, I would like to see the president step in and actually do something, because the football coach has not shown that it's not working. I'm not going to put it all on Kirby Smart. He doesn't want this, right? But you have to do something else then.
Right.
Like, obviously he doesn't want this. He doesn't want people dying. He doesn't want the headline. He doesn't want his guys arrested. He doesn't want any of this. Nobody does. Why would anybody want somebody going 90 on a city street at 3 p.m? But whatever he's doing isn't enough. And it may, you know, I don't really know what else to say about all that. In other travesties,
Somebody sent me a thing that Busch Light is coming out with a peach beer.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Peach flavor. Who's drinking this stuff? Who's drinking this stuff?
Peach beer, yum.
Drinking peach,
I'm a fruity craft beer drinker myself, Dan.
Yeah, but that's not a craft beer.
No, it's not. Probably wouldn't drink that.
Peach Busch Light. I like Busch Light. I just never sat there and said, boy, you know what would make this so good?
I wish it were peachy, more peachy.
It had an undertone of peach.
No. Yeah. It's just a hint of peach, Dan. It's just a hint.
I got the lime. You know, they were doing the Bud Light lime. I mean, obviously, they're getting murdered by the, like, High Noons and the... Not murdered. Busch Light's still brewing plenty of beer, but the High Noons and the Trulies and all that. But, geez, I didn't see this one coming. Peach.
From your brand. Man, oh, man. They're deserting you, Dan. You just wonder, like, there's people at Anheuser-Busch that it's just their job to come up with weird stuff, you know? And like, okay, let's try this and let's try that and throw everything against the wall and just in case something sticks. Somebody invented Zima and it actually worked for a while, if you remember that.
Yeah, I mean, look, all the High Noons and stuff are working great.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess, I don't know. I mean, just wondering. Peach. I'm not trying Busch it. Lime. Anyone tries it, let me know. Get some peach Busch Light. Etu Busch Light. Etu. Watch Bama Rush. That means end you to the Bama sorority girls. It's Latin. And let me know what you're going to really, it's a whole new world, I think. A whole new one. All right, let's finish with this. Pat, you may be involved in this. It happened in Louisville.
Uh-oh.
Here's what happened. We'll just start with this. I'll just read it. This is from The Smoking Gun. A Kentucky man shot his roommate. Kentucky man shot his roommate. These two guys are living together in the buttocks after the victim ate the last Hot Pocket.
Uh-oh. Oh.
In the freezer.
That is an act of aggression.
Shot him in the ass after he ate the last Hot Pocket in the freezer. Clifton Williams, 64, and the male victim got into an argument Saturday evening in their Louisville residence they share. Quote, victim states his roommate, Mr. Williams, got mad he ate the last Hot Pocket, an officer noted. Williams started throwing tiles at the victim, the Hot Pocket consumer. Tiles. I don't. The victim then attempted to fight back. And there was a discussion of who was going to beat his ass.
Said he shot his ass.
Yeah, the victim then said he began to depart the property. Well, sure, you got a belly full of Hot Pocket. Eat the Hot Pocket and run. Williams retrieved a handgun from inside the home, came outside. The man yelled, "Don't shoot." But Williams, quote, shot him in the ass while he was trying to leave. Went to the hospital. Williams was arrested later, charged with felony assault. He's in the jail. The court citation does not indicate what flavor of Hot Pocket triggered the snack related shooting.
See, that's kind of essential information.
I think so. You know. Pat, justifiable assault or not?
I mean, eating a man's Hot Pocket is a distinct act of aggression. There is no doubt about that. And I think this occurred in the Wyandotte neighborhood, which is
near you.
Down. No. Uh-huh. It
might be
south of Churchill Downs, which is the south end, which is, you know, they keep it real down there for sure. So if you're going to eat a man's Hot Pocket, you might get some lead in the ass in that area. I believe this is an excessive response. I'm not in favor of using guns to solve your problems, but you are risking it if you go ahead and eat the Hot Pocket. That's for sure. That you have tempted fate.
Ross?
Yeah.
Do you have a comment? Or you just like, this podcast is too stupid for me.
No, I know. I've been a little distracted this morning, but as probably the viewers, if you've been viewing on YouTube TV, you've seen me escape from this room and this video for
too many hot
times.
Pockets. Too many hot
you pockets. Could say that Mexican hot pockets. Too many Mexican hot pockets for me. So I only caught portion of the story. So I'm gonna let you guys take it away.
Oh, all right. I didn't see it left. Basically, somebody ate a dude's the last hot pocket in the freezer, and the other roommate shot him in the ass for that. Now, we don't know. So is that just if you have a roommate, we've all had roommate, and they eat the last hot pocket, are you allowed to shoot them? That's really what we're down to.
That's the
sure.
Question.
Yeah. Hot pockets trigger violence. Wow. Yeah. Like there are no other hot pockets in the world. You know, God forbid you go walk down the street and get some more hot pockets. But shoot them like with a pistol. Are we talking about a gun here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With a gun. Oh, yeah. With a gun. Yeah. Sorry. I was amazing. Reading the story. I didn't realize you left. Yeah. Incredible. This is good podcasting. So two things on my point. One, first off, this, like, if you have too many hot pockets, you are going to have to do some time sitting down. Right.
Yeah.
And now you got sore. can't feel good after getting shot. So that's insult to injury. Pat, as you were talking, I called up the flavors of Hot Pockets.
Oh, yeah.
They've come a long way. There are many.
Used to be just like ham and cheese, right?
Yeah, I think it was ham and cheese and maybe a pepperoni or something.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah, that was a pepperoni.
We have bacon, egg, and cheese. You get the breakfast Hot Pocket.
Oh.
As the croissant crust. Sure. Okay. Buffalo style chicken. Chicken bacon ranch. Hmm. Pepperoni pizza hot pocket with the crispy crust, ham and cheddar, double pepperoni pizza, four cheese pizza, four meat and four cheese pizza. Man, that's lot of hot in the pocket.
Yeah, that's a pretty loaded pocket there.
Meatballs and mozzarella, Philly cheesesteak. Let's see.
I will be interested for those still listening to the podcast if somebody gets mad about your pronunciation of mozzarella.
There. Oh, yeah, they usually do. Steak and cheddar, and then a steak nacho. It's nacho hot pocket, buddy.
I want no part of whatever steak is in a hot pocket.
Yeah. Filet mignon, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Wagyu.
All right. Well, that's our pod. Watch Bama Rush, drink some peach beer, or don't. Definitely don't shoot anyone over a hot pocket. You can go down to 7-Eleven and get another one, man. It's not worth it. That is a nasty thing for a roommate to do. But there's better ways to spend your weekend than in the county jail because you shot them over it. Because the food you're getting in there ain't as good as a hot pocket. Uh-uh. So there we're at. We will be back Tuesday. We're taking a long weekend. So we'll be back Tuesday. Hope everyone has a great Memorial Day weekend. And keep subscribing, listening, and we appreciate y'all. Hope you guys have a good time. Talk to you later.